Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, Congress is considering revoking the authorization of military force used in the invasion of Iraq 20 years ago. Back then, a majority of Americans supported the war, as the Bush administration cast Iraq as a global threat. In February 2003, Secretary of State Colin Powell spoke before the UN Security Council.
Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option, not in a post-September 11th world.
For more on that moment and how public sentiment toward the war changed, we're joined now by Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Take us back to 9/11, 2001. Shock in this country turned to patriotism. And I wonder, how did that sentiment, as you see it, help to back the invasion of Iraq a year and a half after?
We were still in shock, as you say. The attacks were just a year in the past. People were not satisfied by the ouster of the Taliban in Afghanistan. They were the immediate scapegoats. And of course, their leader, Osama bin Laden, had escaped. And people believed that they had had enablers, people that were helping al-Qaeda in the 9/11 attacks, not just harboring them, but aiding them. And the principal suspect here was the country of Iraq and its dictator, Saddam Hussein. Now, the president at the time was George W. Bush, and he had peopled his administration largely with folks who were around 10 years earlier when his father, George H.W. Bush, was president, and they went into they didn't actually go into Iraq, but they pushed Iraq out of Kuwait in that first Persian Gulf War. And some of the people who were there then wanted to go on to Baghdad, including Dick Cheney, who became the second Bush's vice president. He was Secretary of Defense back in 1991. Yep. And he had a bunch of guys around him really who thought we should have gone into Baghdad in 1991.
Yeah. Well, in that administration was also Colin Powell, who we heard from. What was the mood of the country in late 2002 when Congress was debating whether to authorize use of force?
Fear was palpable and revenge was very much in the air. And many of the factions of the parties had been united, not all, of course, but it was really unlike anything we had seen since World War II. And of course, Pearl Harbor was frequently brought up as a comparison point. The popularity of George W. Bush had gone to 90% overnight as he was responding to 9/11, and it remained elevated for months, even years. So in that winter of 2002 into 2003, he had a great deal of clout. And when he said that Iraq was working on weapons of mass destruction in his State of the Union address that year, people tended to believe it. And they took the administration in a direction that it might not have had to have taken. But the 9/11 terror became the villain of Saddam Hussein and Iraq, and they convinced themselves, perhaps, and they had a lot of help from the CIA, that Saddam was working on chemical and biological weapons and also had a nuclear program.
Were there loud dissenting voices in that moment on the eve of the invasion?
Not particularly loud. There were a handful of Republicans who dissented, one of whom later became a Democrat, one had become an independent. Apart from that, every Republican senator voted for it. There was not as much opposition from Democrats as you might have thought. A little less than half the Democrats in the Senate opposed the authorization for the use of military force. Now, some of them later said they didn't mean a war, they didn't mean an invasion, they just meant some sort of other pressure. But at the time, it was broadly understood that if you gave George W. Bush a free hand and authorization for the use of military force, he was going to invade that country and he was going to go on to Baghdad, as some of his closest advisors were telling him we should have done 10 years earlier.
I want to ask you about the role of the media in pushing or appearing to bolster what we now know is a falsehood of Iraq having weapons of mass destruction. Many of us remember the reporting of Judith Miller at the New York Times appearing to support the argument of the U.S. government.
That's right. Judith Mueller had a great number of sources within the government who were sharing information with her that was not public, information that was highly classified in many cases. That tended to make that information seem all the more important and all the more reliable, and she had a tremendous impact. But let's be frank. Much of the American news media was on board, was buying into the general idea of weapons of mass destruction. We were fearful, and we were perhaps vengeful as well. And any expression of doubt was being treated as unpatriotic, subversive. And in retrospect, as I say, many of us have to admit we were caught up in it.
Ron, we have seen wars in this country, and over time, an erosion of public support in many cases. How did that happen in this case with the American public in Iraq?
It held up. That is, the public support held up through the actual invasion 20 years ago this month, and the fighting that followed, and the takeover of Baghdad, and the bringing down of the statues of Saddam. And even into the summer, it was relatively popular, although a slim majority at that point already favored having the United Nations take over and having our military come home. And then it became increasingly clear in the months ahead, the years ahead, that the Iraqis were not greeting us as liberators the way Dick Cheney had promised. And even people who were glad to be rid of Saddam Hussein were not happy about having the U.S. occupy the country. That is, Iraqis who were glad to be rid of Saddam, but were not glad to have U.S. occupiers year after year. So the war would become an issue in the 2004 presidential election, as the percentage of Americans calling it a mistake rose from just 23 in the summer of 2003 to the 40s and then into the 50s by the summer of 2004, calling the war a mistake. And so it was a major factor in the Democrats winning control of Congress in 2006. And by the time we got to the 2008 presidential primaries, the percentage calling it a mistake was up into the 60s.
That is NPR's Ron Elving. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Scott.